Welcome everyone to the March 17th makeup meeting from yesterday in the snow. Quick, want to start off the welcome in Minnesota House of Representatives. We appreciate your interest and participation in the legislative process to ensure everyone can view, hear, and understand today's proceedings. We ask you for your cooperation in maintaining decorum and civility throughout this hearing. For the safety, security, and comfort of all attendees, please note the following guidelines. I, the committee chair, maintain control of these proceedings and establish the following expectations. Signs and placards are not permitted in the hearing room. Verbal outbursts, shouting, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated. Applause or other audible demonstrations are not allowed. For safety reasons, standing or sitting in walkways and aisles or standing and or obstructing at your chair is prohibited. If you require any accommodation, please speak with our sergeant staff. Troopers and house security personnel are present to ensure everyone's safety. Those providing testimony will be given specific time limits, which must be strictly observed, which is 2 minutes today. If you receive an entrance ticket, please retain it as it may be required for re-entry for the hearing room. Failure to comply with these guidelines may result in the removal from the hearing room. Our goal is to conduct these proceedings efficiently while ensuring everyone the opportunity to observe and participate appropriately. So with that, we got to call the meeting to order. We're going to head to approval of the minutes from March 11th, 2026. Representative Green.
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much, Chair. I did have a chance to look at the minutes. I did see an error in the minutes. House File 3513 was not laid over. We actually put it on the table.
Thank you very much, Representative Green.
So I approve it with that change.
Approving the minutes with that change. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the minutes and the members here would want to pay attention. House File 3513 was the last bill that was heard. Chair Olson was the chair. He's not here currently. Anyways, the conversation and the custom and usage of the committee was to lay that bill over. So actually, the minutes are correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I hear what you're saying. The bill, like, just technically the bill was tabled, and I understand that. And if you'd like, we can correct that in the minutes. I've looked at the video of it. And so then I can, we can take a vote, bring that off the table, and just lay it over, and then it will be active and will be all set. I just want to make sure that the minutes reflect what happened in the meeting.
If you're giving us your assurance that the bill will not be tied down, as Representative Green had indicated, to be tied by laying it on the table, the intent was to lay it over.
Yep.
And so
I understand. I just want to make sure the minutes are accurate for what happened. Then we'll take the motion. We'll be all good.
Mr. Chair, is Mr. Burris prepared with an oral amendment to that effect then, so we can clarify for the committee here today?
So what we'll do is we will just change this from Representative Olson laid over House File 3513 and just have the correction in the minutes so that it was the bill was tabled. And then after we approve the minutes, I will take 3513 off the table and lay it over. And then it's laid over for anybody to play with and work forward in the future with. Is that how that would work, Mr. Burris? Yeah, we'd have to vote to take it off the table. Yes. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, a motion to amend the minutes would be able to be taken up by the committee, and following that, depending on the disposition of the bill, it could then, you know, if it were laid on the table, you could move to bring the bill back before the committee and then lay it over. Those would all be, I'm not the parliamentarian, but those I would consider all those to probably be,
thank you,
you know, reasonable,
yep,
steps.
That'll work. That'll work. Okay. So with the amendment of Representative Olson tabled House File 3513 in the minutes, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. And with that, Representative Kosnick moves to take House File 3513 off the table.
I so move.
3513 as amended. 3513, because the DE was correct. On there. 3513 as amended. Chair Kozik moves to remove that from the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion prevails, and then I lay over House File 3513 as amended. That all work? Did I miss anything in there? Okay. Thank you. All right. So moving on to House File 3919. We have this bill back in front of us because it wasn't technically in front of the committee before. So we have House File 3919. Representative Cha, we're not going to take any discussion. We don't need you can just sit there and look pretty. Would be great. And we have an amendment. So I move House File 3919. And we have an amendment. Who wants to do that A3 amendment that we need to add on? Chair Kozik, are you okay moving that A3 amendment so we get it back to where we were at?
I have one of your members.
Representative Kraft moves the House, the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion prevails. Now we have the House File 3919 as amended in front of us. Any discussion or questions? We re-refer House File 3919 to, actually, sorry, I didn't do this correctly in the beginning. No, it's going to the General Register. So, oh, it's going to Ways. Okay, so we move House File 3919, re-refer House File 3919 to Ways and Means. Chair Kozik.
Could I just get clarification on the path of this bill? It was heard here in transportation, somewhat mistakenly, because it wasn't technically in our possession. Did the either to the author, Chair Tabke, did the bill go back to Veterans?
It was it was in Veterans, and it never made it all the way to transportation. And so we went through the other day. Now we are redoing what we did the other day and moving it to Ways and Means.
When we heard it, Mr. Chair, when we heard it in committee, wasn't our motion to refer back to Veterans, that's where I would be comfortable re-referring it to again today as amended.
Yeah, and they asked us to move it to Ways and Means. Representative Cha.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes. Chair Kozik.
Well, it being St. Paddy's Day and spirit of cooperation, it will accede to your understanding of the Veterans Chair's Representative Olson sits on that committee, and he is not here currently. So we'll go with your original intention to Ways and Means.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I re-refer House File 3913 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right. Now we're moving on to House File 30. Representative Green, do you want to? Oh, Representative Anderson's here, so we can start this. House File 3791. And while we're getting started on this, I just want to recognize that we have a transportation baby in the room, and this is very, very exciting for today. So it's great to see you, Representative Jones, and family. So thank you. It's always good to have a transpo baby. All right. Representative Green, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you so much, Chair Tapke. I would like to move House File 3791. I also have an amendment to move as well.
Thank you very much. Representative Anderson, would you like, you have an A3 amendment. Would you like to move that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A3 amendment.
Would you like to explain the amendment? Or would you like to go up there? Okay. All right, so whomever would like to explain the A3 amendment can proceed.
Yep. Thank you so much, Chair. We're bringing this bill back with an amendment. I've been working with Representative Anderson. We've talked with DPS and State Patrol to try and address some of the conversation that we had in committee last week when we first heard this bill. This amendment, I think, gets to the heart of what we're trying to do with this legislation, and that is to make sure that we have a consistent and reliable standard protocol for protection for legislators. Whether you're here for 10 days or you're here for 10 years, it shouldn't matter. And so this bill works towards that in terms of just getting a plan in place, resources in place, in terms of communication, coordination, all the different entities working together, what mutual aid would look like and could look like so that the right entities are actually responding with the expertise that they have, and then also making sure that we have a hub for threat assessment. So there's a lot going on here, but I think we have come to a place where it's in good shape, hopefully, to go to Ways and Means, and we will continue working on that. So I'm going to pass it to Rep. Anderson to add some more comments.
Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Green. This, you know, when we heard this bill last week or the week before, whenever this is, I think we were concerned that it was very broad originally, and it was probably unworkable, probably would have been cost way too much money. We've all know that there have been issues. There were issues last summer when there were threats. There have been issues recently here in the legislature when there were threats, and there was no coordinated effort with law enforcement. And I bring that also down to capital security, frankly. And so it's set up a situation where I think legislators don't feel safe in many cases. They don't feel like there are people that are actually know what they're doing that are coordinated to provide at a minimum basic communication to people, ourselves, to legislators, and anyone else that's under threat. And so this is a way to get to this, and I think it's very bipartisan. I think it'll help for in the future. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any discussions on the A3 amendment? Chair Kazin.
Looking at the A3 amendment, 3.18 and 3.19, could the authors discuss the open appropriations at the end of those lines?
Yep.
Representative Green.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Kosnick, for the question. After the discussion, we put this amendment together. We put out for a new fiscal note, and so those are just placeholders right now until we get that fiscal note back.
Mm-hmm. Chair Kosnick.
To our previous side discussion here, I don't know that we are in a position to feel comfortable sending this directly to Ways and Means at this point. I think the more appropriate motion would be to send it to have public safety take a look at the overall underlying intent of the bill, but also that would give you time to get the fiscal note and what the ongoing cost is. So that was the only motion that I think I were comfortable sending this bill to that next committee that way.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I guess the question we have, I guess as staff, is the time frame question. Do we have the time to send this to public safety with deadlines?
Mr. Burris, good luck.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, there are several weeks of session left. There are several pathways under which a bill could ultimately get enacted. There are also probably quite a few bills already scheduled for hearings in the upcoming weeks. So there are some competing pressures along that front. I would imagine a discussion with the public safety co-chairs would be in order as far as availability of a hearing before the first and second deadline, and the likelihood of that one can imagine given the number of hearings between now and then and the timeline of a committee report going to the floor and then being taken up and the bill actually getting into the possession of another committee. So those are a couple of the considerations on the process. Ultimately, there are a number of weeks, but also some deadlines looming for this, you know, particular bill in this current House file form.
Thank you. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Chair. And, you know, this bill here, open it up with the A3 amendment and having a dot, dot, dot for spending. And seeing that and just being good stewards of taxpayers' money, you know, in state government, we've held a lot of bills up for the fiscal note. And in the governor's projections today, he talks about the state patrol having some deficit money, and he wants to give them one-time appropriation money. because of the security around the Capitol, what we're doing. It's just there's so much money going out, and we haven't even addressed like certain things with fraud and like this. So I have a hard time passing this bill through. So I guess on me here, I guess I'll be voting no. But unless we had a fiscal note so I could see if it's going to go higher or if it's going to go lower, where is this number going to be? We don't know, you know. And so I guess that's just my concern with this.
Mm-hmm. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the authors, the amendment, would it expand the scope of the bill or would it kind of limit it a bit more?
Representative Green.
Thank you so much, Member Cagle. You know, it identifies things so that it's more under, with more guardrails up. That is my understanding. I think part of the issue with this is that the scope of threats that we're receiving, it's hard to quantify what that looks like, and we don't know. And so when it comes to the fiscal note, I think that is a realistic challenge. And so I think moving this to Ways and Means were to continue to have this conversation to see where our budget could be and where that would look like. But we tried to do it so that it would actually narrow things a little bit more to focus on a systems upgrade, communication, coordination, and a protocol and a plan, and make sure that we have that in place. So hopefully that answers your question.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it sounds like kind of building in some more efficiencies into the system, making sure that we're coordinating with local police. I think this sounds like a really measured approach to some of the issues that were brought up from the last time we heard this bill. It's also my understanding that we probably won't have any targets. So anything that does have to do with finance has to go through Ways and Means anyway. And both I serve on that. Representative Anderson serves on it. I think there's a couple other members that serve. And so that's where I think those decisions are going to be made anyway. And so I think we should really move this bill out because of the policy of it. I know, you know, you guys might not have had the same level of threats that we had here in the cities, but, you know, it was scary, and, you know, when you don't know if the person parked outside your house every day is there just because there's a shade tree or because it's your house, I think, you know, lucky for me, I don't have to deal with this anymore after this session, but you guys do. And so I want to make sure that we're making that commitment to the next legislators that are coming in here, that we value you, we value your service, and we want to keep you safe. So thank you for this bill.
Thank you. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is it your, when money is figured out here, does it, where does this come from? Where is the funding coming from? Sorry, I haven't.
Representative Green.
Thank you so much, Representative Kraft, for that question. We need to look at money in the general fund. And I do know that we have, you know, zero targets, and I understand that, but I do think that we need to figure out how we can find money for this. And so that's what we are working through. And before we get to Ways and Means, we'll be able to hopefully have some more answers on where that comes from, but I do know this is a priority. You know, I think part of what the challenge is this is taxpayer dollars, but if we don't have a safe and secure legislature and legislators don't feel that way and aren't protected, I mean, the impact on our government is real. I mean, we saw that with Speaker Hortman. And so the money piece is what we still are working through, but my understanding is that it would come out of the general fund and that we will figure that out.
Thank you. Representative Centimera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you both for working on this bill, and I'm really glad to see that this idea is moving forward. And I just want to say that I do think there's a lot of data that shows us that different people get targeted differently. I think specifically women in this chamber or this body get targeted differently than men do. And so I think that There are just different fears and concerns that people have. And, you know, I know it was the work of Speaker Hortman and people that came before her to try to make this body better to women, you know, evidenced by a member being able to be here with her baby today. And I don't want to reverse any of that good work by not making sure that people feel safe when they're working here. So thank you all for working on this.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, did you want to respond to any of that? I feel like I should have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, but you're right. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Green, anything else?
No, I just thank you, Chair. Thank you for the discussion. You know, we're going to still keep working on this. We're working closely. We want to make sure that we have this bill in a good spot. So that it's doing what it needs to do. You know, we still haven't had the opportunity to look at the action report out of what happened in June. And so I know that that is being worked on the State Patrol and Capitol Police and what happened and what that response is. And that's all really good information for how we move forward. So I think this is an excellent start, and I would really encourage it to go straight to Ways and Means.
Thank you. Chair Kosnick.
Thank you. I think that the intent of the bill is absolutely, as we said when we heard it the first time, something that we need to discuss and address. I did hear members say that different people in the legislature here are targeted differently. How this bill addresses those intricacies, I think, are best to be thought of and debated by our public safety committee that has law enforcement experience. And so, clarify what the motion will be, Mr. Chair, please.
This is the motion is to refer this to the Committee on Ways and Means,
okay,
as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also, without a fiscal note, just have to take your word, and I'm glad that it is general fund dollars that is the intent of the author and the amendment, because I think that's a more appropriate use. We have a lot of different pots of money in different funds throughout the legislature within even transportation. And those funds I am pretty protective of to stay within transportation needs. And so I would be very opposed, extremely opposed, if later on we find out we're paying this through some other fund other than general funds. But we don't know that. You know, the process is the process for a reason, so that we don't make not necessarily rash, because I think you put a lot of thought into this bill, and it is an important topic. But we need to have all the pertinent information, a fiscal note, when we vote a bill out of a fiscal committee. This is a finance and policy committee. And so, members, I'm struggling to find a way to help move the bill along. You would make first a deadline. You could send it to public safety. It would meet that first deadline, and then you could send it. Wouldn't need to come back here once the fiscal note's done, I wouldn't think. Or you could lay it over, and when the fiscal note's done, then we take it up and send it to Ways and Means. But I think more for the topic, not necessarily the dollars, but I'm concerned about the dollars not coming out of the transportation funds, but for the topic that our experts in public safety, which this bill generally does, deals with the safety of legislators and within interaction of the public, to make sure that some of the things that were talked about by other members, it needs to be talked about in the committee that has more expertise on that than some road and bridge people. So I will not be voting in favor of sending this to Ways and Means without a fiscal note, and would request a roll call if that is the motion.
That is the motion. Yes, Chair. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kosnick, you and I are both on Ways and Means, so I think that, you know, we'll have a chance to see this bill again when it comes to that committee. And I can promise you that if it's not coming from general fund, I will support a motion to send it back to transportation. But I think, you know, because of time and wanting to actually be able to get our work done, that we should support the motion to move it on to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Kosnick.
Chair Cagle, I appreciate those comments and the pledge to work with you on that. But nonetheless, the process is the process. We are not pressed for time. The time of the day is later than we normally meet. but we have plenty of time in session, and so I think it's important to, you know, we're not on the last day before sine die or anything like that, folks. We've got time to get a fiscal note. We don't know what the ongoing cost to it is. We're facing deficit spending. That's important. Doesn't matter what the topic is. I mean, we do care about that. We should. This is a finance committee. We need a fiscal note. Passing a bill out without a fiscal note is not the right process. And without calling out people's motives or anything like that, it is irresponsible. So I would suggest sending it to public safety. That's a little bit more comfortable. Even though that we do have a Ways and Means Committee, that is not necessarily where we figure out all of a sudden how much ongoing tail spending is. We have plenty of time to work on this, but the work that's been done so far is fine. But we need to send it, figure out where the fiscal note is.
Representative Green, was there a – there was a fiscal note on this previously, right? There is just not a fiscal note on the amended language. Is that what we're asking?
Yes, Chair, that's correct.
Yeah, and so do you happen to have that original fiscal note on you by any chance? It was just under $4 million, $3,980,000 was where that was. And so with this, what's your expectation? Will the after the new fiscal note, and Representative Anderson, you can answer this as well, after when the amended fiscal note comes in, are you anticipating it being more or less than that number?
Representative Anderson. Chair Tabke, it will be less because we've made the bill smaller. We've made it thinner. So it will be less than the $4 million. It's true that we don't have a fiscal note. It's true that we are maybe not following the perfect process, but we do have deadlines. And this is a very, very serious issue that the legislature needs to deal with. The threats are becoming more. We are losing good people over it, and it's just wrong. And you have very uncoordinated system of law enforcement here, and bad. And this will help dramatically increase that. And so I don't want this to fall by the wayside like other bills are this session. So I think it's important that we send this to Ways and Means. Ways and Means can look at the fiscal note. If there are big issues that come up in the meantime with public safety, if they want to change things, this can always be amended there. So I ask us to move this to Ways and Means. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Anderson. Anything to add, Representative Green?
No, Chair. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. On page 3, and I completely understand both testifier or members.
Representative Scraba, will you let us know where you're at? Are you on page 3 of the bill?
Sorry,
or the amendment?
Of the bill. Page Thank 3 you. Of the bill. On the definitions and effective dates, all the way down. But it keeps bringing up the Commissioner of Public Safety. The Commissioner of Public Safety will hire people. The Commissioner of Public Safety will direct people. The Commissioner of Public Safety. I just think it's the Commissioner of Public Safety will give you a dollar amount, a number, because he knows how many employees they're going to need and things like that. And I don't know if you can get that after it goes to Ways and Means, but it just seems like if I was the Commissioner of Public Safety and all of a sudden you dropped this bill on my lap and said, here, do this, I'd say, where did this come from? And I've never seen it before.
Representative Scraba, the jurisdiction for this bill falls within transportation under the Department of Public Safety. And so the Commissioner of Public Safety, this committee, handles the Commissioner of Public Safety in this jurisdiction. So this absolutely is something that's within our jurisdiction and not within public safety jurisdiction. So this falls under us.
All right.
Further discussion. I'm unclear as of yet if there was a roll call that was,
there was a roll call
requested.
Requested.
Okay, roll call being requested. Representative Green, do you have any final comments on your bill?
Thank you so much, Chair. I just wanted to address Representative Straba. We have been working with the Department of Public Safety and the Commissioner and have meetings and are going to continue to meet with them to make sure that we are aligned with making sure that the fiscal note matches up with this new version and the new amendment that we put in. You know, there's a lot of analysis that still needs to be done on what, how we need to best take care of everyone here. So, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, do you have anything you'd like to add? Okay, thank you. With that, Representative Green moves to re-refer House File 3791 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. Roll call being requested. Mr. Tsang-Yang, please take the roll.
Chair Tappy.
Aye.
Tappy, aye. Chair Kosnick. No. Kosnick, no. Vice Chair Ream.
Aye.
Ream, aye. Vice Chair Myers.
Aye.
Myers, aye. Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Fogelman.
No.
Fogelman, no. Representative Green.
Aye.
Green, aye. Representative Jones.
Aye.
Jones, aye. Representative Joy.
No.
Joy, no. Representative Cagle.
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Kraft.
Aye.
Kraft, aye. Representative Luger-Nicolai.
Aye.
Luger-Nicolai, aye. Representative Murphy.
No.
Murphy, no. Representative Olson.
No.
Olson, no. Representative Centromiro.
Aye.
Centromiro, aye. Representative Scraba.
Aye.
Scraba, aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 11, the nays are 5.
Thank you very much. With that, the motion prevails. Thank you. All right, we're next moving on to a House File 1781, and this is just in case we need a bill in Ways and Means. So I move House File 1781 be moved. This is all language, that be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. This is a bill. All of this is already in law. There's nothing that this would change in law. This is simply to have a vehicle bill sitting within Ways and Means in case Chair Kosnick and I need to have something there. Any questions or discussion? Chair Kosnick.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the foresight of doing a bill like this, a vehicle bill, as we call them. My understanding is there already are a couple vehicle bills. There is not the intention, because it's not a budget year, to do is any kind of omnibus policy bill. We're doing standalone bills at this point, so I'm not sure the necessity of this.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Nay.
No. The motion prevails.
Division.
Division has been called on House File 1781. This is fascinating. All right, division has been called. Please call the roll. Mr. Sayan, just raise hands. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion does not prevail with 8-8. Moving on to House File 3908, Ignition Interlock Program License. Representative Kraft. Representative Kraft, please move your bill. Representative Kraft, I'll move that House File 3908 be re-referred to Judiciary, Thank Finance, you. And Civil Law Committee. Is that your motion?
That is my motion. Thank you.
And you have an A1 author's amendment. Would you like to move that?
Yes, I move the A1s together.
Thank you. All those in favor of the A1 author's amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Kraft.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Department of Public Safety Driver and Vehicle Services Policy Proposal. The DVS division at DPS administers Minnesota's driver's licensing programs and works to promote road safety and ensure Minnesotans have access to secure and reliable driver credentials. So HF 3908 does a couple things. It makes technical corrections to the ignition interlock device program, makes no new policy, and it adds new privacy protections for optional driver's license and ID indicators. On the interlock side of the bill, it's two things. It aligns the abstinence look-back period and statute with the 20-year look-back period for impaired driving offenses adopted last session to ensure consistency across statutes. And it clarifies some program eligibility for individuals with out-of-state DWI convictions to avoid legal ambiguity. And on the privacy side of the bill, it strengthens privacy protections for these optional driver's license and ID indicators related to things like medical alerts, autism, and certain mental health conditions by classifying this information as private data. These changes are intended to simplify administration of the ignition interlock program, reduce confusion for participants, and ensure higher risk drivers are appropriately monitored, as well as strengthening protections for sensitive personal information while supporting emergency responders.
Thank you very much, Representative Kraft. You have a testifier. Please introduce yourself and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pong Zhang, Director of the Driver and Vehicle Services Division. And I had prepared some comments too, but Representative Kraft did such a thorough walkthrough of the policy bill. I will just stand for questions.
Efficiency over here.
I love it all. Discussion. Questions. All right. Thank you very much. Seeing none, Representative Kraft renews his motion that House File 3908, as amended, be referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. Any closing comments, Representative Kraft?
Thank you for supporting the bill, please.
Thank you very much. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Nay.
The motion prevails.
Division.
You're kidding.
Chair Kosnick has called for a division. All those who voted yes, please raise your hand. All those who voted no, please raise your hand. Seeing that it is actually an 8-8 vote, the motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question? I don't know if it's appropriate or not.
We are going to recess for a moment.
Thank you.
All right, I call the meeting back to order. We are moving now to House File 3966. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Kraft. 4233. I apologize, Representative Kraft. House File 4233. Move your bill, be House File 4233, be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Kraft, you have an A2 author's amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Kosnick. The A2, I move the A2 to get the bill in the format I'd like it considered. By the way, it also represents working through and clarifying some language with stakeholders so that everyone is on board.
Thank you very much. Any discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Kraft, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the areas where this committee has jurisdiction is around pipeline safety. Most people know 811, call before you dig, or go for state one call. Before digging, contractors must call 811 so utilities can locate or mark their underground facilities. This process is really important because there's more and more stuff underground, gas lines, cable lines, phone lines, sometimes power lines, and more fiber and broadband. You don't want to take out cable or internet, and you definitely don't want to hit a gas line. This bill is about improving communications in this area by codifying something called electronic positive response. There's a great one-pager in your packet about it. But simply, it's about having a structured electronic way of reporting the status of these locate requests. So everyone knows what the status is, where to look for it, and what number to call for your utility if there is an issue. AGC, Associated General Contractors, initiated the stakeholders' discussions that have led to this legislation. And with the amendment, it represents agreement from the various stakeholders involved on codifying this best practice. And with that, I have a testifier.
Thank you very much, Representative Kraft. Your testifier apologize. Mr. Haas, please come forward. Say your name for the record and proceed.
My name is John Haas. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Again, my name is John Haas. I serve as the Director of Lean Operations for VITE, also here on behalf of AGC. I'm here today in support of House File 4220 or 4233 and express our appreciation to the stakeholders who worked with us and also Representative Kraft for bringing this legislation forward. At VITE, our teams work on complex infrastructure and utility projects across Minnesota. Safety and coordination around underground utilities are essential parts of our work. One of the most important tools we have is the 811 system coordinated through the Gopher State 1 call. Electronic positive response allows excavators to confirm whether a utility has been marked, indicated a clear work area, or needs additional coordination between excavators and facility operators before the excavation begins. This closes the communication loop between utilities and excavators and helps crews know the status of a locate request before we start digging. The good news is that the vast majority of utilities in Minnesota are already using electronic positive response. This legislation simply ensures that all facility operators participate in the same system and that accurate information is maintained so issues in the field can be resolved in a timely manner. House File 4233 strengthens communication, improves accountability, supports safer excavation practices across Minnesota. Thank you again to Representative Kraft for his leadership on this issue, and thank you to the committee for consideration. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on this bill? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Any questions? All right, thank you very much. Chair Kozak, anything you have to add?
I support the bill.
Representative Kraft, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Kozak, if I heard you support the bill, thank you. I'd appreciate a vote to send this on to the General Register. It's about improving safety, so thank you.
With that, Representative Kraft renews his motion that House File 4233, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right. Thank you very much, Representative Kraft. Representative Jones, House File 3966. Again, it is great to have you back in the hearing room.
Glad to be back. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity to present House File 3966, a common sense bill that will help us enforce our laws and ensure efficient delivery of an important public service.
And Representative Jones moves that House File 3966 be re-referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. So did you have, you have an A1 author's amendment?
Yes, I'd like to move the A1.
Thank you very much. Representative Jones moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone oppose? The motion prevails. To your bill as amended, Representative Jones.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I can't actually see the screen. Is there a...
Oh, I did something.
Thank you.
Okay, it's fine. We'll just go without it. Yeah. It's fine. We'll just get going. So I had prepared just two photos. It unfortunately isn't coming up here, but as many folks know, I'm a regular bus rider, and I occasionally just happen to have my camera ready when we get stuck in traffic in the red bus lanes, and it's because a vehicle has been stopped or parked there. But I hope that with this bill, we can make that situation a thing of the past. I'll note my son is already a bus rider, and I want to make a better future for little Hans so that he never gets stuck in bus lane traffic ever again. We invest tens of millions of dollars to make critical improvements in our transit service by upgrading local transit routes to bus rapid transit routes with the aim of improving speed and reliability. More of these routes are included, are including dedicated transit lanes because those dedicated lanes have been shown to improve speed and reliability. This bill is designed to ensure the purpose of these transit investments are met. In short, we need to free the buses. This bill empowers transit operators and local governments to work together to enforce the existing rules of transit and bike lanes with the use of cameras on buses. Local governments already have the authority to ticket illegally stopped and parked vehicles. This bill simply gives them a more efficient tool to conduct enforcement, cameras located on the exterior of the buses. I know many on this committee appreciate innovative technology, and this camera technology can now narrowly focus on identifying vehicles in the bus lanes, and this bill language restricts camera usage to just that. And the data protections and ticket structure mirror those in the traffic camera safety pilot statute already in law. So our transportation system is supposed to provide access to destinations to get people where they need to go safely. That's why we have the rules of the road. It's important that those rules are followed, and this bill makes sure that that happens and also in a way that ensures privacy is appropriately protected. So I will welcome up two testifiers to talk to this bill.
Thank you very much, Representative Jones. First on the list is Mr. Steve Huser. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Transportation Committee. My name is Steve Huser. I'm a senior government relations representative with the City of Minneapolis. The City of Minneapolis supports House File 3966, and we want to thank Representative Jones for carrying it. Ensuring that our bus and bike lanes are free from illegally parked vehicles ensures that the investments that we have made, usually with other local and state government partners, are able to be utilized as they are intended. Some specific examples from the City of Minneapolis, we have 52 Metro Transit buses that are regularly blocked at 7th Street and Nicollet Mall pretty much every day. On average, bus lane blockages last approximately 2 minutes. 7th Street at Nicollet Mall and Lake at Lindale Avenue have an average of 3 blockages that last over 10 minutes every day. This leads to less efficient transit rides and impacts all those who are on those lines. The impacts to bicycle riders and their safe use of the bike lanes is also not acceptable. We are working with the author to look at some of the more technical aspects of the bill just to make sure that the interaction between local government and Metro Transit is exactly how we want it to operate. And we've begun that work, and we will continue to work with the author as it progresses. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Huser. We have another testifier who is on Zoom, so we'll see how well Zoom treats us today. Director, Legislative Regulatory Affairs, Ann Chicani. I apologize if I messed up your name there, but if you please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hi, I'm Ann Chicani. Thank you to co-chairs Tabke and Kosnick and co-vice chairs Rem and Myers. I'm really happy to be here with the Transportation Finance Policy Committee this evening. I'm sorry I can't be there in person due to the inclement weather you all have experienced, but I appreciate this opportunity.
Ms. Chicani, could you please hold on a second? Could we make this a little louder at all? It's just very quiet on our end, so I'm not sure if it's a volume side or if you could just shout at us would be great.
All right, is this any better?
It is slightly better, but we'll roll with it. So we're on max on this side. So yeah, roll. Thank you.
Okay, I'll project. So Hayden AI is a transportation technology firm that works to improve transit operations. And today I'm here to talk to you to support the passage of HB 3966, which would improve Metro Transit's or provide Metro Transit Authority for vehicle-mounted automated parking enforcement of bus stop zones, bus lanes, and bike lanes. This new authority would improve access, safety, and reliability for transit riders across Metro Transit service area, especially for seniors and disabled Minnesotans. It'll also protect the investment that Minnesota has made in its BRT system. Vehicle-mounted automated parking enforcement systems are cameras and a computer that sit inside the bus and monitor the roadway for parking violations. Together, the system can automatically detect potential violations. It'll capture a short video and still images that are packaged for parking enforcement agents to review and ultimately decide if a citation will be issued. So when this legislation is passed, Metro Transit will be joining its peers in a best practice. We've seen these programs are successful in all different kinds of transit markets, and there's been proven results. Some of the other markets that we're in include New York's MTA, Washington, D.C.'s WMATA, we're in Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, Sacramento, Oakland, California, a number of other California cities, and we're also in procurement in Boston. But the reason that these are important are because of the results of the program. Blocked bus stops are safety hazards, especially for disabled transit users. With enforcement, anyone with a disability that requires a mobility support device can guarantee that they'll have a safe boarding experience. That means that wheelchair ramps can be deployed, buses can pull directly up to the stop, and disabled users can board. As we've seen in New York City, we've seen benefits that include bus speeds improving, a 40% reduction in bus stop violations, 20% fewer collisions on enforced routes, and violators learn their lesson. Only 91% only receive one ticket. This means we're actually seeing a change in behavior. And in Washington, D.C., they've seen faster buses as well. Their program is called Clear Lanes. We've seen an increase of 13% in speeds on Clear Lanes while outside of the zone. Other routes are falling. Speeds have fallen 11% as they've returned to work. They've seen a decrease in violations as well, 41% decrease in bus lanes, and 30% decreases in bus stop violations. And like I said, disability access has improved with 10% increase in wheelchair ramp deployments on Clear Lanes routes, with over 1,000 deployments per day. And as we discussed, our technology is privacy by design, and the bill is also written to conform with existing Minnesota data privacy requirements for speed and red light cameras. Our bill bans the use of biometric tools such as facial recognition. Images can only be used for parking and transit purposes. They cannot be used by other law enforcement. And the technology only captures, as I said, a short video and images of the violations. All other footage is deleted, and we would comply with strict data retention and destruction requirements. And there is also human review. Review is by a trained parking enforcement agent before any citation is issued. I'm here if you have any questions, and thank you for considering HB 3966.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chikani. I appreciate you being here and for your great testimony. So thank you very much. Anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? All right, seeing none, member questions. Anyone have questions on the bill? Representative Joy. Representative Murphy, after that. It's going to confuse me.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the questions I have for this bill is, what is the cost of this program? I see it's in a blank appropriation in here. Do we have a fiscal note or kind of have an idea what the cost is?
I don't have
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you. I was looking for a switch. I don't have one. This bill is really designed to make sure that it's giving the authority to the transit agencies to be able to do this. The transit agencies could use their own existing funds. We put an appropriation in there in case we could find additional funds, so it could be on top of what transit agencies already have, but we don't necessarily need an appropriation in order to pass this and for it to give the transit agencies this authority.
Representative Joy.
Chair, would we be able to then possibly do an oral amendment to say there'll be zero fiscal cost to this so that we know that when it leaves this committee?
I think that we'll ask over nonpartisan staff here about if that is an amendment that we could do. I'll pull it up and just look. What are you suggesting, Representative Joy?
Well, as we heard, there's an appropriations in there that says dot, dot, dot in fiscal year. And many times in the legislature, I've seen bills go through dot, 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 and then there's in the tails, there's money expent. And I think Representative Jones says that probably the bus companies will absorb this. And we, if there was money given, we would, but she's saying it probably won't cost money from the state or from the general, so we could put a, you know, say that there's no fiscal cost so that we know that this bill would be a neutral of zero.
Got it. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Joy. I would entertain that because I think it's important to give the transit agencies this authority. I would love to be able to cover the costs if we're able to do that, and so that's why we put this appropriation in there. But I would be happy to entertain that.
Mr. Burris, would that so what I hear Representative Joy and Representative Jones discussing is section 8, line 1010 through 1013, deleting that? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, so the oral amendment could simply delete section 8, which is on page 10 of the bill. That would be one piece of what was discussed. Another piece is affirmatively directing the department. This would be Department of Transportation as a potential entity that might incur some costs associated with development of standards for the camera. So another potential component of an oral amendment could be to direct the department to use existing resources to implement the requirements of this section. So there are sort of a couple of different options for an oral amendment if you wanted to.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Joy.
It seems a little more complicated to just strike it like I think is its easy language, so I think I'll just withdraw even adding an amendment like that.
Thank you.
I do have a couple more questions if I can continue.
Proceed.
Another question is I know it talks about vehicles facing forward when there's vehicles blocking the lanes. What happens when there's a whole bunch of protesters standing in that lane? Then who gets the ticket or how do they distribute the tickets on that?
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the question. This bill is tailored to parked and stopped vehicles and enforcing those laws.
Representative Joy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the only thing that these cameras will be watching is anything in those lanes that are parked or stopped vehicles, nothing else obstructing that. Okay.
That's correct.
Then one more question. I guess more of a just a I'm just going to say it. So one of the things I'm concerned about is we heard recently about transit costing the money and up to $209 subsidies and what it's costing us. This worries me a little bit is if they do take on the appropriations or if we do, it's costing the state, or if they do, it could impact what it's going to cost riders, you know, if the bus companies decide to put these equipment on. So I guess I just have some concern, but thank you, Mr. Chair.
We love you looking out for those transit riders. Thank you for that. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, may I respond to that?
Oh, for sure.
So I would like to note, so similar to any other parking ticket, there is a fine then associated with that, and that would be created within these standards. And so that would then also, you know, help to mitigate that.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Jones. My question is, are these cameras capable of collecting other data besides the license plate?
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for that question. I may ask my testifier, Anne, if she's still on, if she can help answer that.
Ms. Shikani, please, did you hear the question?
I did hear the question. So I can confirm that the only license plate that is read by the license plate reader camera is the violating vehicle. No other license plates are scooped up. And other data that is seen by the camera, unless it's a violation, is deleted. We do have the capability for blurring if needed, so faces and other license plates of non-offending vehicles can be blurred. So no other information is generally kept or stored.
Thank you, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, thank you. So the data is collected, but it's deleted.
Ms. Shikani.
The camera is running, and it sees the street, and then unless there is a violation detected, that data is deleted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Green. Oh, wait. Representative Jones would like to respond.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I can just expand on this. My understanding is that when a violation is triggered by the camera, that then it goes to a person for personal a real human review, and so it is the things that are collected that are of concern are already blurred out before it goes to a person for that review, if that makes sense.
Correct. Yes. The Representative Green. Happens on the edge on the device.
Yeah.
Oh, Ms. Shikani, did you have something else?
I was just explaining that blurring and all that happens on the edge on the device.
Got it. Thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Representative Jones, for bringing this bill. I'm really excited about this this bill that you've brought forward. One of the things that I think, and it's in this presentation, but if you could talk to it just for a minute about what they're seeing in other cities with the decrease in actually park cars continuing to park in bus lanes, that it's just an incredible deterrent. Mm-hmm. So at the onset, there are more parking tickets given, but then that goes away because people just know, don't do that anymore. So if you could speak to that for a minute, that would be great.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Green, for the question. Yeah, we had a little bit of confusion of which slide deck which went to which speaker. And so Ms. Shikani had been talking about this PowerPoint that is in your packet. And so you'll see here, both in New York City and in Washington, D.C., they've had tremendous success in the use of this technology. We're seeing faster buses in D.C., where the bus enforced lanes, the speeds were 13% higher. The violations have decreased over time. So 41% decrease in bus lane violations, and then a 30% decrease in bus stop violations. So this all means that our transit system is running faster, more efficiently. People are getting to where they need to go. People are getting to school, to work, to grocery stores, to their healthcare. And they're doing so in a more timely way. And that's, I think, what we want from our public service and public services, is that it's running how people expect it to be in a reliable way.
Thank you. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Jones, what if the vehicle is registered, the owner is what if the person driving it isn't the owner? How does the ticket get to that person instead of the owner?
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the way the bill is written is it goes to the owner or to the lessee of the vehicle. And so if you own a vehicle, that vehicle is your responsibility. It's registered to you. And so that's why we've connected the violation that way.
Representative Scraba.
So if someone's borrowing a vehicle and these tickets start showing up at that person's home, are they responsible for it? And they have to go chase the driver down that was using it? You know.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Scraba, for the question. I would hope that every driver who's loaning out their car knows who they're loaning it to. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a stolen vehicle, and that's a different enforcement issue that we have. I've heard in situations, especially in Minneapolis with the traffic safety cameras, you know, situation. I have a friend who's talking to her this weekend. She's like, yeah, my daughter has received 2 tickets from that. And you know who's paying those? It's coming from her, you know, allowance or whatever. And so, the owner of the vehicle is then ultimately responsible for paying it. And if it's their child or whomever, it's in their purview then to decide how to be compensated for that.
Last one, Representative Scott.
Yes, thank you, Chair. One of the things that last time we were here, I was reading about how fraud, if someone's using a different license plate, and I realize then it gets kicked to another fine, but whose responsibility is if they switch license plate and they keep getting these tickets and there's nowhere that person doesn't exist, whose responsibility is it then? How much time does it take? Things like that. It just seems really difficult to follow.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Scraba. I think that is a case in which, just like within any parking violation, you can appeal it, and that is when an individual would make the case that, hey, my car was stolen or my license plate was stolen, and be able to resolve it through that mechanism.
The question is, what if I'm a nefarious person and I change the license plate, and then I just carry on my day?
Representative Scraba, I'm confused as to what if part of that you went. Sorry.
It's a good one.
Continue.
Yes. If someone is nefarious and they change the license plate on purpose, knowing that they're going to be parked there every day, how do you chase that person down? Who's going to do the work to catch that person?
Representative Jones.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Scraba. I think I understand your question now. So if the nefarious, you're worried about the nefarious person not being caught. Well, right now the problem is a lot of the nefarious people are not being caught. So, you know, with a lot of our laws, we're not able to catch people and enforce 100% of the time, but this is making a big leap, a big step forward in making sure that we have fewer vehicles parked and stopped in bus lanes. The other thing I'll note is that the current enforcement mechanism is literal physical people going out and patrolling and, you know, handing out paper tickets. So that doesn't go away. It is still, you know, a part of the system. And so if we think that there's a problem location, that could be a strategy that a city or a local municipality employs to get more closer to that 100%.
Thank you. Representative Sensenmuir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to respond a little bit to Representative Scraba's question. So if you look at lines 5.21, I believe that this is building off of language that was in the speed safety camera bill. So it's talking about limitations and basically what your defense can, what kind of the process is if you want to go through the process of saying it actually wasn't me. So if it was a medical emergency, or if your car was stolen at the time, if you had transferred lease, and similar to what Representative Jones said, you know, it's same thing as a parked car, right? People, if someone steals your car and then leaves it parked somewhere and you get a parking ticket, you're going to have to go through that process. So our law kind of already has some built in, and I think it's the balance of trying to make sure there's a process people can go through if it wasn't their car, and saying, like, we need to try to hold people accountable, and there's a lot of reasons why we don't want to use a face show recognition reader, so I think this is the best option we have right now.
Any further discussion on the bill? I thank you very much, Representative Jones, for bringing this. I really, really like this bill. It is something that is necessary to make sure that these lanes are free and clear and open and be able to work the way they're supposed to work. It's a traffic and pedestrian safety issue. It's a transit rider issue. And so I just really appreciate you bringing this forward and having this move forward. So any further questions?
What is the motion for?
The motion on this one is, just make sure I get to the right one, House File 3966, as amended, be re-referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. Chair Cosmic.
Thanks for doing the work on this. I did meet with the advocates for it, the camera people, basically, in the interim, I think it was, right before session. I haven't heard from transit operators that this is something that's needed. I haven't heard any testimony today in support of that. I would be concerned with the additional mandate that this would create for our transit service, so I think it needs a little bit more work, and I won't be supporting it today.
Okay. Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Tabke and Co-Chair Koznick. So I have talked to Metro Transit to several staff members there, and this is something that has been on their it's been on their radar for a long time. It's the thing that they've been wanting to get to, and so I'll just say that I've had positive conversations with them.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no further discussion, I got to get back to my notes. Sorry, Representative Jones renews her motion that House File 3966, as amended, be re-referred to the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The motion does not prevail. All right. Next on our agenda, Representative Kraft, unless you have.
Is that either dead? No.
What? All right, moving forward, House File 3430. Representative Kraft moves that House File 3430 be re-referred to the Taxes Committee. Representative Kraft, you have an A1 amendment.
I thought 3430 was being laid over.
We can also do that. Yeah. I have it in the notes as Taxes, but all right, so House File 3430 be laid over.
Yes.
All right, so you have an A1 amendment?
Yeah, the A1 amendment gets the bill in the way I would like it considered, using curb weight as opposed to gross vehicle weight rating in the weight portion.
I'm sorry. I was not listening to what you were saying. Could you please say it again?
I move the A1 gets the bill in the way I'd like it considered. It basically is using curb weight versus gross vehicle weight rating.
Thank you. Any questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Kraft, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So first of all, I would love to pass something like this bill. I do at least want to start, perhaps continue a conversation really about
this to amend.
Oh. Yes. But this is. Yeah, that was just the author's amendment to get it where he wants mm-hmm. it at. He'll explain the bill and then we'll come to your amendment after that. Whoever's amendments. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm explaining the bill and then we're going to do the other amendment?
Yes.
Okay. All right, great. So as I said, while I'd love to pass something like this, I at least want to start a conversation about really the insanity of our current approach to EV fees. A few principles I'd like to start with that I use in my approach to this bill that I would suggest would be a good way of how we should frame this discussion. One is revenue neutrality. This is not about cutting the amount we spend on roads and bridges. I've endeavored to create at least a revenue-neutral approach, but actually with the revenue note, it is more than revenue-neutral. It's actually revenue-positive. Now, I'll talk about the part of the reason that it's a little bit obscured in the revenue note is that there were a couple of amendments being contemplated when it was created, the fiscal note, and the second one, A2, has not been put on the bill. So if you remove the impacts of that, this is net increase in funding for roads and bridges. So first, revenue neutrality. Second, EVs should pay their fair share, but not more than their fair share. There's a strong argument I can make that they should be paying less because they have huge public health benefits as compared to fossil fuel vehicles in terms of improved air quality and reduced greenhouse gas emissions, but it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's pay their fair share. And the other piece is more use, less safety should equal more fees. Simply, if you use the roads more, you should pay more. If you have vehicles that cause more safety issues or put more wear and tear in the roads, you should pay more. So that's the approach that I've taken. The current situation, if you look at EV fees that we have in place as compared to gas vehicle fees, EV fees right now are 2x to 4x the fees on similar gas vehicles. If you look at the upfront amount versus a typical amount that we that a gas vehicle would spend based on the gas tax. It's 2x if you mostly charge at home, and it's 4x if you mostly charge at public charging stations. So what I'm proposing here is that we get back to a fixed EV surcharge fee of $100, and let me share why this is reasonable. All right. If you look at the amount of miles a car drives in a year, this is from 2022 MnDOT, 13,957 miles. And by the way, if you think about the gas tax, you pay less if you drive less, and you pay less if you have a fuel-efficient vehicle. So 31.8 cents per gallon is the gas tax. At something that is at a car that gets 40 miles per gallon, that would be $111. At 50 miles per gallon, which is a Prius, which I would say that EVs are at least as fuel-efficient as those, that's $89. I should mention that the MPG equivalent of EVs tends to be over 100 miles per gallon. The other piece about this is if you look, I used that 13,957 miles per year, but all the studies show that EVs tend to be driven less than gas cars. So that's why I proposed $100. Now, to make up the theoretical drop in revenue from EVs, and by the way, I say theoretical because with what we're doing now, we're disincenting EVs in Minnesota, which will have an impact, could have an impact on their uptake. What I'm proposing is that we start recognizing the impact into safety and higher costs that heavier vehicles have on safety and on our roads. If you're hit by a heavier vehicle, you're far more likely to die, and they cause more damage to our roads. By the way, right, EVs do tend to be heavier than gas cars with the batteries. So this should mean that this will disproportionately impact them versus gas vehicles, but at least it's based on something tied to some kind of logic. So with that, I believe I have some testifiers on the list.
Thank you very much. Our first testifier is Ms. Amanda Duerb. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we're going to keep this to 2 minutes, just so you know, because we're going to today's been fun, so we're going to make sure to get out of here on time.
Yeah, I'll keep it snappy. My name is Amanda Duer. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association, representing our state's franchise new car dealers. This bill is unique because there's parts of it that we like, and there's parts of it we have concerns about. On behalf of MADA, I participated in the Electricity as Vehicle Fuel Working Group. One of the recommendations of that working group was to return to a flat surcharge for EVs and plug-in hybrids rather than the MSRP-based formula that was enacted last session. We were one of the groups that strongly advocated for this change, so we do like Sections 1 and 2 of this bill. Unfortunately, Section 3 is another story. It imposes a weight-based surcharge on all vehicles in the state over 5,000 pounds, which is a concept that wasn't ever discussed in the working group. With Minnesota's registration taxes already being amongst the highest in the nation and on a very slow depreciation schedule, adding additional surcharge on top of registration taxes would make vehicles less affordable to consumers, which is a major concern. A few examples, a 2026 Chevy Silverado with an MSRP of $57,000 would pay $912 in registration taxes plus a 10% weight surcharge of $91, making the total due $1,003. A 2026 Kia EV9 with an MSRP of $54,900 would pay $865, a 7% surcharge of $60 plus a $100 EV surcharge for a grand total of $1,025. It's true many states base their registration tax on vehicle weight, but those states typically use a nominal base fee plus the weight calculation. To be clear, MADA isn't opposed to having the conversation about changing to a weight-based taxation model, just not in addition to our already extremely high MSRP-based registration tax. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Anjali Baines. from Fresh Energy. Please state your name for the record and proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, chairs and committee members. My name is Anjali Baines, and I lead the transportation policy team at Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a more than 30-year-old clean energy advocacy nonprofit based in St. Paul, and I was also part of the working group that Amanda Dura mentioned. We are here today in support of House File 3430. While EV sales have increased in the last several years, they still comprise only 1% of our passenger vehicle fleet. As such, they are not the main cause of lagging revenues into our highway fund, which to date is primarily due to the rising cost of maintaining our expanding physical infrastructure and decades-long improvements in fuel efficiency for gas vehicles. As a result of those fuel efficiency improvements, the gas tax, the most commonly known funding mechanism for a highway fund, only actually makes up about a third of our state's highway fund revenues. This means a holistic approach to new and sustainable highway funding that considers both gas vehicles and electric vehicles is required to plug the highway funding gap, as the weight adder mentioned this proposal does. Taxing EVs more is not the right approach. As many analyses have shown, including what Representative Kraft mentioned, the current EV surcharge unfairly burdens EVs with higher fees than their gas counterparts at a time when affordable EV options are growing, especially in the used market, where the vast majority of Americans purchase their cars. EVs offer tremendous opportunities for Minnesotans to save. For those who can charge at home, EVs can offer $1,500 to $2,000 worth of annual savings from lower fuel maintenance costs as compared to the average gas vehicle today. That is significant and is especially helpful in moments of intense oil price spikes like we're in right now. With many used EV options now available under $15,000, savings are within reach for many more Minnesotans. With federal support for EVs gone, state actions matter more than ever. We ask members to support House File 3430 as a first step to finding a long-term solution to our complex highway funding challenge while helping Minnesotans take care of their pocketbook. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Then we have a couple of Zoom testifiers here with us today. First is Ben Kretzner from Electric Vehicle Owner. Ben, please state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you for being here with us.
Good evening, co-chairs, and Cosmic and members of the committee. My name is Benjamin Kretzinger. I'm an electric vehicle owner and Minneapolis resident. I'm also a former committee page, so it's great to be back at the House. And I want to just say thank you as well to Representative Kraft for bringing the bill forward. And I want to be clear, I believe EV owners should pay their fair share and fund Minnesota's roads and bridges. And the current system is incredibly inequitable. As a current EV owner, I pay about four times as much as I would if I was driving a conventional internal combustion engine vehicle of a similar size and weight to the vehicle I currently drive. And HF 3430 makes a meaningful step towards correcting that. I do also want to encourage the committee to go further and really give serious consideration to a mileage-based fee system that would charge me based on how much I drive, since that way I will be encouraged to drive less and it will mirror the gas tax, which also encourages people to drive less and is more efficient in that way. I also think the committee should give serious charge to repealing the surcharge on public EV charging, because that tax mostly falls on residents like me who live in apartment buildings and use that tax. Most of the revenue will come from us and not from people who will drive through Minnesota roads. And I just want to say thank you for the time, and I'm available to answer any questions the committee has.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it. And next, we also have on Zoom Brendan Jordan. Please introduce yourself and proceed for the. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Chairs Kosnick and Tabke, my name is Brendan Jordan. I'm here representing Drive Electric Minnesota. I will keep it brief because the author and the other testifiers have already made some of the great points that I hope to make, but. Drive Electric Minnesota supports having EVs pay their fair share, but we do believe that the legislature might have overshot the mark a bit in 2025 in greatly increasing the annual EV surcharge for EVs and adding a new tax on EV charging. We thank Representative Kraft for bringing House File 3430 forward, and we support it. And we do believe that it would result in a more equitable system We would also encourage consideration of eliminating or delaying the EV charging tax, as has been stated. The rationale for this was to capture out-of-state EV drivers. The unintended consequence is that Minnesotan EV drivers, particularly those who rent and rely on public charging, are being double taxed. They're already paying an EV fee in lieu of the gas tax, and then they have to pay again when they go use a public charging station. Disproportionately EV impacting renters and also slowing down new investment into desperately needed expansion of our EV charging network in the state. We support a reasonable EV fee. We also support consideration of a mileage-based alternative as an opt-in for EV drivers to have the choice, and we're opposed to the charging station taxes. Thank you very much again, Representative Kraft, for bringing forward House File 3430.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jordan. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kraft, for bringing this forward. I agree we need, we overshot last year, so I appreciate your thoughtfulness in this approach. You had noted a connection between safety and car weight. Can you elaborate more on that?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Jones. I don't have the data in front of me.
Representative Kraft, if you could hold on for a second. Just so you know, babies crying are very, very welcome to the Transportation Committee. So do not worry about leaving. It is all good. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Jones. I don't have the data in front of me. You may actually, because I know you've looked into this, but I do know that with increased weight in a car-to-car accident, there's more likely to be death, and especially in a interaction between a car and a pedestrian or a bicyclist, the likelihood of fatal injury or death goes up substantially with weight of a vehicle.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, thank you for that. I also don't have the data in front of me, but I appreciate that connection. I had heard it mentioned that the EV task force or the electric fuel charging task force didn't take into account weight, and so there was kind of some concern around that. And I'll say this, I have concern around that it's not being considered, both the weight and I think the size of vehicles. We have seen more and more that there's been a correlation between pedestrian injury and death, especially of small children, as cars get bigger. And so I think it's agnostic, honestly, of whether it's an EV or an ICE vehicle, an internal combustion engine vehicle, that we should be looking at the size of the vehicle, both from a weight perspective and the height of the grille perspective as well. So I'd love, as you continue work on this bill, I'd love to see that incorporated some way as well.
Representative Kraft. Anything further on that? Nope. All right. Representative Green.
Thank you so much, Chair. And thank you so much, Representative Kraft, for bringing this bill. I have a question about the revenue. Where would the revenue from this fee be deposited?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Green. This is in the highway HUTD, highway user tag. I never remember how that all goes, but the highway funds.
Yeah. Representative Green.
I have one follow-up question.
I'm sure House Research can make sure I get the name right.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, it is the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund.
It's close.
You were very close. Well done. Representative Green.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I have one follow-up question. So then if we have that that revenue goes into that fund, could that be used to create more EV infrastructure? Are we allowed to use those funds for that purpose?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Green, right now, no, we cannot use it for that.
Representative Green.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions on this? Oh, Representative Luganikolai.
Yes, I would just like to ask, so I've had a chance to look at the fiscal note, and can you tell me a little bit more about the cost savings on the absorbed cost?
Representative, could you grab the microphone a little closer for you?
Sorry. I'm not used to this table. Looking at the fiscal note on page 4, can you just tell me a little bit more about the absorbed cost? Because that looks like a pretty substantial savings in fiscal year 2027.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. So this section, as I read through it, and we can also have others come and talk about it, but is what some programming changes and things that we needed to be done, and they said that would be an absorbed cost. And my supposition is that this organization does a bunch of work for them on an ongoing basis to adjust the systems needed to collect these items, and so it's being rolled into normal cost of things.
Thank you very much, Representative Kraft. Any further questions, Representative Luker-Nicolai?
No, that'll do her.
All right, thank you, Representative Kraft, for bringing this bill forward. I really appreciate it. I know that there is a DE amendment. We're just laying it over, so I encourage you to work with the author of the bill to figure that out before it comes back in the future. I also thank you, Representative Kraft, for bringing this bill to show very clearly that in the last session, Republicans raised taxes in the transportation bill, and Representative Kraft is trying to cut taxes in the transportation bill. So closing comments, Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want this to be the beginning of a conversation. I'm open to all ideas, but I think we can get to something that's more balanced.
Chair Kazi.
It appears that you're closing the bill. We have two members with amendments, and I had a closing comment.
Okay, you can have closing comments. That we're not. This is being laid over, and so Representative Kraft will work with the authors of the amendment, and we'll move forward from there.
Well, thank you. Then I don't know that that's fair to the members that prepared their amendments on this bill, knowing that it is for discussion. But Representative Kraft, I talked to some of the advocates on this again during interim. We talked about the gas tax equivalency, which is basically the whole point of the bill. Does your bill factor in, or how does it factor in federal gas taxes?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Kosnick. It doesn't base its calculations on federal gas tax.
Representative Chair Kosnick.
Well, thank you. And I didn't think it did, so that's the answer that I was expecting. And when we have this whole discussion, we are forgetting that traditional vehicles are also paying a federal gas tax, and we get federal tax dollars into the state. And so your calculations are missing what a comparable gas tax in total should be. What I would suggest, if you want to help maintain the system, is that figure out what the total gas tax paid per gallon of gas into your calculations, including the federal gas tax and the state gas tax and the automatic inflator to the gas tax that you put into the state law, and then charge that equivalent until the federal government charges a similar EV fee, and then have a mechanism to automatically withdraw so our Minnesota taxpayers aren't paying double the federal gas tax. But in the meantime, until the federal government does, we can help do the funding gap by using your calculations for EVs on an equivalent full gas tax comparable.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. Closing comments, Representative Kraft. Very quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Kosnick. I appreciate the comments. I wanted to start a conversation. So, let's talk about it.
Thank you. With that, House File 3430, as amended, is laid over, and we are adjourned.
Mr. Chair.